This is the people here.
I don't make anybody happy.
John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
Is Providence crime town?
Most definitely.
Most definitely, Providence is crime town. Also, welcome in to everyone that watching on Facebook Live with our assistant producer, our friend Rob Bennett on Facebook Live, brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. But joining us right now, as I said, he is the managing editor for Ocean State Current. Good afternoon to our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon.
As the State House turns, Justin, I'd like to get your take. There have been a couple different developments. One thing that I think is interesting is both Speaker Mattiello and Senate President Dominic Ruggiero, they've certainly gone out of their way to try to lay out a timeline, throw blame on the other side, both of them taking the time to publish commentary pieces or op-ed pieces, I should say, whatever you want to call it, in the Providence Journal, and basically, you know, just kind of covering their tracks. Here's my timeline version. Neither one seemed to then lay out exactly what their plan is to try to resolve this, but we'll talk about it a little bit. But I'd like to get your thoughts. I'm going to share with you what I have heard really kind of kick this thing into motion, but I'd like to hear your thoughts on the latest with this State House standoff.
Well, it's actually their letters and commentary in public that have made me kind of step back from my theory that it's all just a show, because Speaker Mattiello in particular did go after Senate President Ruggiero's integrity. So they're starting to use somewhat fighting words. So
yes.
Maybe not quite as contrived as I had thought. But still, it's still hard. They're not budging, and it's over such a kind of a minor thing. It's difficult to understand why they would be doing this. And other than, you know, a little bit of commentary in their letters and stuff, there's not a whole lot of evidence that the key players here really think it's all that big of a deal, you know, as far as keeping the state alive. I mean, you intro'd this saying, you know, the shutdown, if only, you know, if only the state government were forced to shut down some stuff for a couple of days or a couple of months. But everybody's kind of smoothly going along. The budget office is saying, no, we're only off by a couple million from last year anyway, so we're good for now. There's nothing to worry about. So at this point, it's still largely political, and it'll have to resolve itself eventually. I'm sure once something that isn't purely political comes up and intervenes, they'll find a way to save face and just, you know, get it done.
The I don't know about that. When you say something will come, I mean, what do you think or see any indication that they're going to come back before January? I mean, it would have to be a special fall session. Now it has become a little bit of a game of chicken of exactly who's gonna blink first here. Mattiello seems pretty dug in, and in the Providence Journal they have an editorial this morning where they kind of back him on this. So I think part of this, you know, there are some things. The cities and towns, they're not exactly sure what's going to happen with this, and relying on last year's budget. So I'm curious, and then we'll get into some theories on what's really driving it, because there is some more information. But I think as the Providence Journal, their editorial, they kind of side with Mattiello in this, saying, in any event, the trigger's not worth a budget standoff. And they try to say it's a good gesture of good faith. Mattiello could pledge to take up the idea as a separate bill. They write, this is Providence Journal editorial now. We've had strong differences with Speaker Mattiello. Last year, you denounced on the floor sharply criticizing foul system legislative grants. But it's hard to see how he behaved improperly here. So what do you make of the fact that, you know, if you're going to pick a side here, the Journal seems to be siding with Mattiello?
Well, that's certainly, I mean, if you buy into the idea that the leadership rather than the actual representatives and senators get to make the decisions, that makes some sense, because they come to a conclusion about how the budget ought to be done. They do their negotiating, and then everything just flows at the end of the session normally. So the person disrupting that is the one disrupting it. And also, as a practical matter, the most efficient way out of this is for the Senate, which I might have missed it, but I don't think has pledged not to change anything. I mean, they said they're not going to take that article out, but that seems to be the side where there's a little more give rhetorically as far as they could come back and do something. But all they would have to do would be to remove that one amendment that the president put in there and then pass it on to the governor. and the whole thing's off. So that's the easiest way to resolve this whole thing. We discovered for, here's an example of why I'm still a little skeptical of the fight.
Okay. Now, when you say that, Justin, I want to make sure I understand this, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but mm-hmm. when you say you're skeptical, are you almost intimating that this is almost like a little bit of a WWF where they're play acting? No, I mean it. Where they're play acting that there really is no breakdown here?
Well, I still am keeping open the possibility that that's playing a role because, first of all, the amendment isn't that big of a deal. I mean, after a while, once you start calling people, challenging people's integrity, then you're going beyond that and it's harder to save face and it's less likely that it's just a pretense. But, you know, frankly, I find that this budget being paused solved some issues for Speaker Mattiello. For example, with holding up the progressives' paid time off bills and that sort of thing.
Right.
He might have had constituencies. And even, you know, frankly, his car tax proposal, he's all out there and he was pushing it, but he was way out on a limb on something that's kind of costly over a few years. And, you know, so even if that has a pause and he can bring it back during an election year and win it again, for example, you know, that's not necessarily something he should be frightened of happening. So it just seems like a lot of storm over just a little amendment.
If that's the smokescreen. Okay, I agree with that. And let's play, you know, let's do a political rumor here. I'm not going to hold you to it. People shouldn't tell you like that. I'll tell you what I've heard, and that is that a key player that is involved here is Mary Ellen Goodwin. And Mary Ellen Goodwin is concerned that if there's one place where they can get a progressive to run against you, it's in a primary, it's Providence. And they've seen, you know, DeSimone was taken out, and then, you know, that's how you have the Maura Walsh and that wrangling and so forth. And so this is what I have been told. A key player here is Aaron Ruggenberg, and that the housed version of the paid sick leave was watered down. And Goodwin was concerned that if the Senate went along with it, it was going to hurt her in moving forward. And they do fear Aaron Ruggenberg. He's Brown University graduate, as you know. He's the poster boy, Mr. Great of the progressives. And suddenly now, from what I've been told, he would like to run for lieutenant governor. And Goodwin needed to strike a deal with Ruggenberg and the progressives so they don't run someone against her, a progressive against her in a Democrat primary, because she is more of the old Providence type Democrat, you know, moderate kind of a Democrat, like a pie of a weed. Not a progressive, but, and I've also understood that recently she did, in fact, receive some money from, you know, one of those groups, whatever it is, the progressive group. So this is what I have been told, and I've heard it now from a number of different people. Is this was really done, it's about paid sick leave, but it has more to do with political survival of Mary Ellen Goodwin. So although they're throwing up the smokescreen about the trigger, it really comes back to the paid leave and which is not business friendly, as you know, and they had to come up with something, because otherwise, Justin, none of this makes sense. I mean, Mattiello's version doesn't make sense, and Ruggiero's version really doesn't make sense. I mean, every time they're going along, and then all week, right, handshake, hug, he went through the whole litany of the week. Tuesday, handshake, hug, lunch. Wednesday, handshake, hug, lunch. Thursday, radio silent. But that's what I've heard, that this is more about Aaron Ruggenberg. They're very concerned about the paid leave, and this was a panicked Mary Ellen Goodwin that got them to halt the brakes on the whole thing, where now it's that paid leave that they're more concerned about. Now, I don't know if you've heard some rumblings about that as well.
Well, that's the kind of thing I guess I maybe, even despite being so cynical and watching this all for so many years, I still might be a little naive in this. I have a hard time believing that nobody here can play this game better than that. I mean, look at the situation they're in right now, if that's the case. They've still lost their sick leave. she's still in the middle of it. She still can be challenged if she's vulnerable, because progressives will just say we need more of our own voices in there fighting this stuff.
Right. But at least now there is time to work on it. You know, like, so for next year, or to amend it in some way, or if she cuts some deal. He is a power broker up there. This Aaron Ruggenberg, he's got money, and that's what I'm hearing. He would like to run for lieutenant governor. That would be really interesting if they had a progressive. I mean, he's as progressive as you can get, that high level. And I agree with you. But otherwise, none of it makes sense. As far as Ruggiero, they were concerned about the trigger. That doesn't make sense. Since when is Rhode Island, Justin, ever concerned that they won't be able to afford anything? I mean that is like laughable that they're suddenly concerned that there was a mechanism in case we can't afford it. I mean, they can't afford anything, and that never stops them. Mattiello's version of events seemed to, you know, actually shake out a little bit more to the truth in the fact that he was saying that there was someone standing beside him, meaning Ruggiero, and then kind of left it at that. So, but you still feel cynical on what this whole thing might be behind.
Yeah, I mean, that may be part of. Well, I'm cynical about the blow up, that it wasn't somewhat intended. I mean, if you look on Thursday before the whole thing blew up, the House, and I think we talked about this last week, took up for no reason the free bus passes bill.
Yes.
And passed that, even though it's in the budget, they passed it again on Thursday as a separate bill, which allowed the Senate to pass it. And what I had heard about that was that was Senator Metz, who really wanted that and for various reasons was asking for that to get in. Now that kind of fits into the same sort of story, if you think about it, because the Senate would have been the one throwing the wrench in order to save Goodwin, but then they needed the House's cooperation, so they got the House to pass. So that would indicate that there's some cooperation going on here. And there are also other, we noticed at the Center for Freedom and Prosperity, for example, that some of the key bills, the controversial labor bills, the disability out for illness for firefighters and police,
yes,
and the perpetual school committee, teacher contract bill, they have not yet been transmitted to the governor. Now, the state constitution requires that to happen, but it doesn't say when, and nobody's really sure. I'm hearing there's a lot of debate about who has the authority to send that, to stop or not, to send it or not to the governor. So, but that's another indication here that there's something going on, because if the Senate is holding that up from going to the governor, I mean, basically they're withholding from the governor a negotiation ship because she can't veto it if she doesn't have it.
Right.
So she can't say, I will veto this if you don't get back together and put the budget in. So there's just a lot of interesting little pieces here that seems like either they're playing the game reasonably well, or they're just, it's all just this ludicrous small ball that we should, is almost worse than how badly they govern us in general. You know what I mean?
It's right.
Like, if they're blowing up the budget over this little stuff and they can't foresee obvious consequences like this blowing back and helping the progressives with their own rhetoric, if they can't foresee that stuff and it's just instead a big mess, then that's almost more terrifying than just, you know, what we know is terrifying about our government in the first place.
Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Each afternoon, here I am from 1 to 5 on AM 1540 WADK. By the way, Facebook Live, up and running. Sound is very smooth. Our guest, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, is Justin Katz. Justin, staying with that for just a moment, in this morning's Providence Journal, Governor Raimondo was initially talking about the National Governors Association, which is being held this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. The Vice President of the United States is scheduled to be in town. And within the interview about who's coming to town and what's in the works and so forth, and, you know, she wants to talk to the Vice President about affordable care, she does then say, it says, I'm going to read, quote, they talk about cities and towns will not have the money they were expecting. On that note, quote, Raimondo said she remains concerned about a union-backed bill that would cleared both chambers, allow municipal contracts to continue on indefinitely after they expire, while saying she has not yet decided whether to veto the bill. She said, I'm continuing to hear from all sides. I do worry, as I talk to mayors, that this kind of provision really could increase costs for cities and towns and handcuff the ability for cities and towns to manage their own costs. That is concerning. Every mayor, as far as I know, Justin, spoke out against this. And I think, I mean, that is a way, maybe a little bit of a trial balloon for Raimondo to see maybe exactly what type of pushback she's going to receive if, in fact, she does veto that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a question of whose vote she thinks she needs more, right? I mean, every indication this year has been that she's concerned about labor unions and progressives, which are highly overlap a lot. And so that would be, it would be, I'd be surprised if she did veto that.
Really?
Particularly.
Okay.
Particularly. Yeah. Well,
you said that in the past that you'd be surprised. I'm based on those comments. I'm starting to lean more that I think she is going to veto it because, I mean, that would be tough to defend when you have all the cities and towns are hurting. Town managers, mayors, they're all against it, and then she goes ahead and allows this to happen. I'm going to lean more now in favor of, I think, well, we'll see. I'll bet you a Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I think she is going, in fact, now to veto it. I do think she's going to do that.
It is possible, although she'll be overruled, you know, by the General Assembly. Now, I could see her pulling something where she vetoes it as in order to get them to come back into session and pass the budget so that they can overrule her veto or something to that effect. I mean, that's the sort of story they could put together. And that would save a lot of people face in different ways. But I just don't know if she should or would feel confident enough, because as we've discussed before, you know, Bob Walsh of the National Education Association has been very pointed that they are leaving her alone.
Yes.
Everybody needs to come back to come together in the era of Trump. That doesn't cover Lieutenant Governor McKee.
No.
But everybody else.
You're right.
So he's been very pointed about that. So if she were to veto that, she loses all the work she's been doing on his free college stuff for the progressives and that constituency, that fades because they'll now have this impulse. She loses the NEA and the government, and she already has trouble with them. If there are rumors of former Governor Chafee jumping in or somebody else. And
we can only hope.
Strong.
Yeah, that's right.
I just don't have a feeling that she would be that confident. Now, I could see her floating this trial balloon more as part of the budget negotiation process to try to say, hey, look, you need to resolve this all, and this is one of my chips. But I will be surprised if she ends up and at the end of the day. Now, she might do the Rhode Island, you know, coward governor thing and just let it become law without signing it.
That's true.
Yeah, so she has six business days, essentially, including Saturday, not Sunday, to sign any legislation that comes her way. And that may be why this hasn't come her way yet, because then the clock starts and she has to make that decision.
Interesting.
What she's going to do with it. So, yeah, she may go that way and say, well, look, I had concerns, so I didn't sign it, but it was becoming law anyway. But even if she vetoes it, the General Assembly could easily overrule.
If they're going to do that, it would bring out more debate. We're going to ask Justin, folks, to hold on just for a moment. Again, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. We're going to come back to him in just a moment. Again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Folks, I want to remind you, you know where people are just raving, and every time I go out, people thank me for letting them know about the one and only Sam's Inn. Sam's Inn, located 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick. Sam Curry has done it again. I'll tell you, he and Kimberly, what a great operation they run. It's Sam's Inn. You can call them at 737-6073. Let me tell you a little bit about Sam's Inn. You walk in to the left, they have the lounge, they have live entertainment there. To the right, well, they have the full dining room. They also have a private party room, which is terrific, which we have used. Daily lunch special at Sam's Inn. Are you ready for this? Daily lunch special, just $6.95. Every meal cooked to order, plus at Sam's Inn, it's farm to table, and free salad bar with any entree. And let me tell you, people love the salad bar at Sam's Inn. The food is delicious. It's affordable. I had the Sam's Burger, which is just tremendous. Kate had the Southwest Burger, which was great. Jacqueline and Claire stuck with the ravioli with meatballs, whether it's baked scrod or broiled sea scallops, fried clams. I also love the linguine with clam sauce. I've tried both red and white, both a home run. They have great lobster roll, and they have great appetizers. Clams Casino, baked stuffed quahogs, which I love. It's all waiting for you at Sam's Inn. You know, you can also order online at samsinnri.com. SamsNRI.com, but daily lunch special at Sam's Inn, just $6.95. Every meal cooked to order and free salad bar with any entree. Farm to table at Sam's Inn, located 2227 West Shore Road in Warwick, not far from Bishop Hendricken. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see John Jackson or Jay Brennan in there. 737-6073 at Sam's Inn. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We're going to come back a lot more with Justin Katz. Sue Cianchi, who's the town manager in East Greenwich, is going to join me today coming up at 4 o'clock. I'm going to ask Justin about what took place last night in East Greenwich, but town manager Sue Cianchi is going to join me coming up at 4, but a lot more with Justin Katz, and I'm going to also ask Justin this latest polling numbers on Senator Whitehouse, reason to be alarmed for sure, and a lot more. It's all ahead on the John DePietro Show.
The Ford Summer Sales Event is in full swing. It's your chance to get a Ford F-150 for 0% financing for 60 months, plus an additional $1,000 on top of your trade-in. It's summer's hottest deal on the award-winning built Ford Tough F-150. Take on summer right with Ford, America's best-selling brand. And save big on the Ford F-150. Get 0% financing for 60 months, plus $1,000 on top of your trade-in. Hurry into the summer sales event, going on now only at your New England Ford dealers. Best selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 60 months at $1,667 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment. Trade assist cash requires trade-in of 95 or newer vehicle. Or lease terminated 30 days prior to or 90 days after delivery. Not available on Raptor. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer spot by July 31st, 2017.
We don't just carry our boxes to their destination. We carry your business. We carry your growth, your love of your products, and your service. When you hand your product over to us, we know how important it is to you, so we make it just as important to us. It's as if your entire store is right there in our hands. That's why at the United States Postal Service, we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone else in the country. The United States Postal Service. Priority, you.
At Paul Massey Chevrolet, you get the lowest price guaranteed every day with Rhode Island's only true one price. Lease the Bolt EV for $239 a month for 39 months and get an incredible 238 miles to the charge. Great selection, top-notch service, and the lowest one price only at Paul Massey.
Chevy Bolt lease offer, $29.88 total due at signing. 39-month lease with approved credit, 10,000 miles per year. All fees included, sales tax extra.
Well, folks, we've all heard the saying, too good to be true. Most cases, it is, but not at Paul Massey Chevrolet. No way. Where you can lease the all-new, as you just heard, 2017 Chevy Bolt EV, the new 2017 Motor Trend Car of the Year. Listen to this. I am just so astounded at this. Paul was telling me about this and showed me the car. 238 miles of electronic range for only $249 a month for 39 months. 238 miles of electric. You could drive for 238 miles just by charging it. Leave your checkbook at home. This is a lease, zero due at signing, no money down, no gas expense. You know what? You're not going to the gas station anymore. Only $249 exclusively, Rhode Island's only true one-price dealer. Imagine that. Over 80 Bolts in stock. Paul Massey's out to electrify Rhode Island this summer. And it's not all about the great one-price lease on this fantastic electric crossover. It's fun to drive, incredibly room, space for your busy life. The Bolt EV built for every day, every weather. And you can see why Paul Massey voted best dealer to buy your new car by the Providence Journal readers. Great one-price selection. Every car, truck, SUV clearly priced, both on the line, online and on the lot. Lowest price up front. Come find new roads. Bolt EV. Think of that, though. I am fascinated by that. 238 miles. You plug it in at night, and then 238 miles. No more gas station. And they have them at Paul Massey. At least test drive it, for crying out loud. You're going to love it. That's why people love, and it's Paul Massey. It's available at Paul Massey Chevrolet in East Providence. Now, they also have Paul Massey Chevrolet Historic Wakefield right by the Riverwalk. But stop in and test drive that Paul Massey, the Chevy Bolt, always online at paulmassey.com.
WADK.
All right, folks, and we're back. Brings me back to the old living room days. It is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. That's right. Each day.
John DePietro Radio Show.
This is the Romantics.
John DePietro Radio Show. Call the independent man every day on
WADK.
All right, and we're back. Good afternoon, David Bucci joining us, everybody on Facebook Live. We're back with Justin Katz. Justin, there's a different sound for the radio, don't you agree?
yeah, I like it.
Hey, Justin, I want to ask you about last night. We're going to talk to Susie Yankee, the town manager, coming up at 4 o'clock. But last night, what was supposed to just be a regular town hall meeting, this is something, as you wrote an Ocean State Current, I saw it on Twitter, you know, out of the union playbook. They all wear the matching T-shirts. They fill the place and then just shout down as they're trying to have a town hall meeting. It was all a bunch of outsiders that were doing all the screaming. Crowley there from NEA, you know, all the firefighters come in. They even had a teacher dressed as the Grim Reaper, which I find completely over the line. Can you imagine your kids are in a classroom where the teacher dresses up as the Grim Reaper and goes to a town hall meeting? But I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Is all as a result of East Greenwich that has seen their taxes go up 400% in the past couple of years, rein in cost. They brought in Gail Corrigan as a consultant. They got rid of the town manager, and they're going to approach this one town, forget about the duplication, save money, and stop raising taxes. Love to hear your thoughts on what took place last night.
Well, I think what elected officials and prospective officials and reformers need to understand is this: it's just a show. I mean, we were talking about the General Assembly, and that's maybe, you know, we're kind of theorizing about that. But this is entirely a show.
Yeah.
It's down to every single word they say. It's every time, as soon as people start talking, can't hear you.
Yes.
Speak louder. Just an excuse to shout something out.
Yep.
Move the meeting somewhere else. Just an excuse to disrupt things and make people feel tense. And that's part of the negotiation. I mean, they start the whole process by electing people, trying to elect people that will go their way. And every now and then you get, like in East Greenwich, you get something that occurs that the other side, our side, I would say, gets to take office for a while. And then they escalate. Then it's the negotiations become heated and picketing and yelling and screaming. Then it's the town meetings and these disruptive things to intimidate. And it is 100% a show. And I think Anthony Kercheri in East Providence in 2009.
Yes.
Laid out the, yeah, I mean, it was exactly the same sort of thing. And if they had moved this meeting last night to a larger venue as the union thugs were requesting, they would have just been inviting a bigger circus. I mean,
yes.
It would have been no, okay, now we can hear so we can be quiet and listen. No, that wouldn't have happened. We saw that in East Providence in 2009. But Kercheri at that time, just, I was there, you couldn't hear anything, but you just kept going. They
yep.
went through all the items they had to do on the meeting, and then they went home. I mean, that's just what, so Susie Yankee, you can understand it. She was shouting back, you know, as if she's talking to reasonable people who have a legitimate complaint, but they're just up there saying whatever. So
yeah.
There's no point arguing with them. You just finish your meeting out, deal with the slings and arrows, and move on. Of course, then as we saw with East Providence and with this perpetual contract deal, then the unions will just go to their friends in General Assembly and change the law. But at least the people at the town level will have done their duty. And so I think they're going to see this, and I think people just need to realize it is all a show. It's just, it's like going to dinner theater, you know, and somebody gets murdered and everybody has to solve the mystery over
yes.
dinner. It's just like that. You can't get nervous because they murdered somebody, you know, pretend murdered somebody next to you at dinner. You know, it's just part of the show, and you have to accept it and just do it. Just go ahead and do what you were supposed to do. And I think in the long run, people will end up agreeing. It's just nobody wants to stick their heads out and say good job, because then this mob with the Grim Reaper will come to your house with
yeah.
their blue or red or yellow or green T-shirts, whatever it happens to be that year.
Yep. You remember also going back to 2009, that was Anthony Kercheri. That's right. Now, he ran for all the right reasons in East Providence. And after the meeting, a bunch of the prison guards followed him out to his car. Now, he was a 72-year-old grandfather, and one of the prison guards, I remember, said that, he threatened me outside in the parking lot, and there were like three of them to back it up. Now, you could say, why were the prison guards at a meeting in East Providence? But that is the way they work. Justin, what would be your – she's coming up at 4 o'clock. What would be your advice to Susie Yankee? Because, you know what else I want to mention is I received an email from someone who attended, and they've never seen anything like it. they said, and you know the whole thing, so they get there early, and then they stand on both sides and form a gauntlet. So when you're going to enter, they're wearing the matching T-shirts, and they're on both sides in an intimidating way to try to intimidate people. We have to literally walk through a gauntlet. But what would be your advice to Susie Yankee for the next meeting?
Well, I think, and I found from East Providence was my wake-up experience associated with some stuff that was going on in Tiverton, where I live, around the same time. I think when people see this behavior, they have that same reaction.
Yes.
You're teachers, you're firefighters,
yeah.
You're cops. This is
horrified.
How you behave. And I think the key is to let this stuff be seen and to increase the contrast between you being responsible and trying to do what you believe is right in a responsible way versus them. So never, ever let them draw you out of that composure. Just do your business and go on. And the more people who see this stuff, the more they want to put these videos online. I mean, back in 2009, it was kind of innovative that I could record the thing on my voice recorder and publish that. And that made some difference. People would hear the audio and couldn't believe it. So let them keep going. Maybe put a video camera on the dais next to the council and point that at the audience so people can really see the video from that perspective too. I think that's what you want, and I think that's what'll bring change. And I think it ultimately, you know, the teachers, firefighters, cops, I still don't believe that they're all on board. They just think this is how it's supposed to go. And
oh, yeah.
So the more you can make them look at it and make their parents of the kids in their classroom say, you know, I saw that video. Oh, that was quite a scene. I think the more you get that, the less support the unions will have among their members for this kind of behavior. I think that's the only way out of this.
Not only that, but I think you're right also. You have to just continue on. Do the business you have to do. Don't play into you're right. One of them starts yelling, I can't hear you. Speak up. And then they just do that to try to rile you, get you to do exactly that, cancel it. Because what if someone is going there to try to obtain a liquor license or there's town business that needs to be done? They're suddenly like, hey, what is this? What do you mean they adjourned the meeting? So I think you're right. You don't move it to another venue. You keep it right there. The bulk of the people that were yelling were professional agitators that were brought in from the outside. And they do this to try to intimidate and frustrate people. That's what it is.
Exactly.
So, yeah, exactly. I agree with you. I think it's a matter of, as you say, you just got to continue on and just ignore it. I like that idea of having the camera there on the dais so people can see that. But what I know that the council, that they enjoy the support of the people, and these are outsiders that are brought in. You know, you have to be a resident to speak up, but that they bust them in, they all come in, they live for this type of thing. It's the mob mentality. They start screaming out. They're trying to create, Justin, as much havoc as possible. That is their goal. Patricia Morgan will tell you stories of being, you know, followed home, and then they're out in front of the house honking the horn in her driveway. I mean, this is designed to have people that are part of either it's a town council, a city council, a school committee, Justin. This is designed to have them say, my God, what on earth was I thinking of? Or to discourage other people from running through these intimidation tactics. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. And
yeah.
I mean, one thing I've never forgotten, as I was walking into the East Providence meeting in 2009, some women, presumably teachers, were walking there, and they were talking with a police officer directing traffic, and one of the women says, oh, I love the Rhode Island accent. Okay, well, where are you being bussed in from for
yeah.
this? So, that's exactly it. You just just go on with the meeting, do what you need to do, and don't try to argue with them, because what happens then is people are, you know, naturally you get flustered and your voice goes up.
Right.
And then anybody watching it will just kind of tune it out as two sides just
yes.
shouting at each other. So just... yeah, go with what you have to do. If you have to stop the meeting, and I would love to see this happen, stop the meeting, call the police, have Pat Crowley removed from the town hall for disruptive behavior. You know, if that takes an hour, at least then all the people watching will go, this meeting took an hour because we had to wait for that nincompoop to be pulled out of the town hall.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just keep in mind, you know, it's almost like be professional.
Yes.
Do your job and do what you're there to do and what you said you were going to do. And if you need to call police to maintain order, do that, but you know, soldier on. It's a lot easier to say, you know, on the radio than it is actually to do, having tried it myself. But you do get flustered, and it is tough when people are shouting at you. But it's just theater. So,
it is.
You know, it has to be treated that way.
Yeah, although, you know, there's many occasions where, you know, you used to see at the Trump rally where he'd say, get him out of here. I mean, does someone have the right to just stand up and just start screaming and yelling? And it would be interesting if the police started, you know, if the police started to eject people, does that just rile them up even more? Or are you better to just, you know, go ahead and continue with what, you know, you have on the agenda and just try to block it out? But I agree with you. And I'm going to pass that along as she's going to join us coming up at 4 o'clock. Folks, it's Justin Katz, the managing editor of Ocean State Current. Justin, I want to ask you, now these just came out this morning, some new polling numbers from, Kathy Gregg tweeted it out, and I was just reciting them, and now the exact name escapes me of it, but I'll pull it up. But it has to do with the Morning Consult, where, and this says, quote, that Senators Reid and Whitehouse have seen their approval ratings plummet. With Senator Whitehouse now, do you approve or disapprove the job of Senator Sheldon Whitehouse of Rhode Island? 46% approve, 35% disapproval. I'd love to get your thoughts on that. As much as they may want to try to shrug that off, when you're going to be running for re-election next year, anytime you get below 50%, that becomes dangerous territory. Never mind, you know, Nardiello, is running but hasn't really lobbed that many bombs his way. But, boy, 46% is very beatable, and that's an attention getter for sure, I think.
Yeah, well, and especially since I think the last time they did the poll was in April, and since then Whitehouse has dropped from almost 60%. So
yeah.
It's not just that he's at 46. I mean, he's dropped almost 20 points, and the number of people who say they aren't sure has actually increased.
Yes.
By about 4%. So, I mean, it's people who before said, oh, yeah, good job, are now saying, no, I'm not sure. So that increase between not sure and disapproval puts him over 50% disapproval, which is, you know, kind of eventually, you know, going on the floor and talking about your own constituents as if they're raving lunatics and murderers.
Yeah.
You know, eventually that's going to catch up with you. You can't just be the most stark raving mad left wing senator in the country and not take some hit for that. Now, of course, Senator Reid has also fallen. He's holding on with 51% approval rating from something like 63% approval rating a few months ago. So it is affecting them all. It's interesting, you know, you watch the polling and people talk about how unpopular Trump is, but Congress is actually lower.
That's right.
Congress is almost as low as the news media at this point in approval rating. So I think people are getting fed up with this whole obstruction and the whole performance about, you know, Russia controversies and you would expect somebody like, if that's the case, you would expect somebody like Senator Whitehouse to be leading the way in his loss of support.
I agree with you. And just I mentioned just in the last hour, I saw on Twitter, David Cicilline said, catch me on Wolf Blitzer. I'm going on in 15 minutes on CNN to talk about Trump and the Russians. You know, as exciting as that sounds, and the Democrat Party, you know, trots him out, and he is the most partisan, I think he is actually probably the most partisan in Congress. But, you know, Congressman Cicilline going on Tucker Carlson, going on with Wolf Blitzer, bashing Trump and so forth. Justin, none of that helps the people of Rhode Island. Zero. I mean, there's nothing. It's all party with them. There's nothing by doing that in any way puts anybody to work, lures a job in, brings whatever. If you're living in District 1, CD1, which is Cicilline, him going on national television, MSNBC, Fox, CNN, whenever chance he gets to just take, you know, throw haymakers at the Trump administration, in no way does that help anybody who's struggling right now in Rhode Island.
Right. Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, if somebody sent me to, and I'm not running and don't plan to ever, but if somebody sent me to Congress to represent their state, and I'm there trying to figure out how to do the good things for my state, and I'm in a minority party with a president of the other party, I think probably one of the last things I'm going to want to do, if my intention is sincerely to help my state, is to be partisan and just an attack dog, at least visibly, notably. I mean, you can criticize people, but when you're visibly out there as a leader in your own party attacking the other party, it just makes no sense, except in the context of this pure party trying to score hits, get some money from donors, and keep winning office in a relatively liberal state like ours.
That is exactly right. Folks, he is the editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. It's Justin Cass. Justin, always great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again.
Likewise. Have a great week, everyone.
All right. Folks, there he is, Justin. He does a great job, and we'll have that. Nick will have that podcast for everyone. Folks, we'll open up the phone lines. As I mentioned, we're going to talk with Susie Yankee, who's the town, the president of the town council in East Greenwich, coming up at 4 o'clock. As Justin, he wrote about it on OceanStateCurrent.com, and you can read about some of the antics. They had to shut down the meeting. They had a bunch of people that came in, outsiders, who basically just crashed the meeting and were there just to be disruptive, to try to frustrate, intimidate. We'll talk to her coming up at 4 o'clock. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Here I am, folks, each afternoon, 1 to 5, a.m. 1540, and it's WABK. We'll take some of your phone calls. If you want to comment on anything you just heard Justin and I talking about, 846-1028. I want to remind you the hazy, hot, humid days are here. Let J.Cale Engineering design and install a Carrier Infinity system for your home or business today. These Carrier systems' highest rebates on the market. They're quiet, they're energy efficient, and you could save over 50% on your energy bills just by having J.Cale replace that old clunker. J.Cale Engineering, they also specialize in complete commercial rooftop systems. From design to the ductwork, installation and service, replacements of these units can be done in a matter of hours, as well as the ductless split systems. Call J.Cale today for a free estimate at 351-7600. Factory authorized Carrier and Navient dealer for installation and service. They're licensed in Rhode Island and Massachusetts. An approved National Grid VPI installer plus financing is available. Listen, you could have central air in your home, or maybe it's just not running properly. Call J.Cale Engineering, 351-7600. You know, this is terrific. You want to do something nice for maybe an older relative? Call J.Cale Engineering. Have them come out and explore as far as getting central air for their home. Or, you know, I visited a friend of mine at work the other day. Half of the office were wearing winter coats, and the other half looked like they were working in a greenhouse. I was like, what is this? He's like, I know, I got to do something about it. He said, half the building's freezing, the other half's hot. I said, call J.Cale, 351-7600, 351-7600. How's that sound? Always 70 degrees in your home, or 68 degrees, whatever you want. J.Cale Engineering, call them for a free estimate. You know, I never understand people that don't call for the free estimate. You have nothing to lose. 351-7600 for J.Cale Engineering. They're the best. They'll come out to your home or business. They're licensed in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. They're so knowledgeable. And you're going to save money. Not only are you going to be more comfortable, you're going to save money on top of that. Call J.Cale Engineering today at 351-7600, 351-7600 with J.Cale Engineering. Let's see. Karen is calling from East Greenwich on the John DePietro Show. Hello, Karen.
Hi.
Hi there, Karen. Were you at the meeting last night?
Yes, I was at the meeting.
You
were.
Were
you at the meeting last night?
What's that?
At the meeting last night?
I was not at the meeting. No, I was not. Nope.
Okay.
Followed along. I spoke to some people who were there. What did you think of the outsiders and the people that were screaming up top from the balcony?
Well, I just listened to your
Do you agree with that? Yes.
I don't think you're asking the right question.
Well, I think it's a simple yes or no. Do you agree with the people that were yelling up top? Did you do anything to tell them to quiet down?
Excuse me, will you allow me to speak?
No, but will you? I will.
You weren't there.
No.
You weren't there, and
is it appropriate for a teacher to wear a Grim Reaper outfit at a town council meeting? Is that appropriate?
Irrelevant to the whole conversation.
Irrelevant? So
yes,
a school teacher who's being paid by the taxpayers.
You're switching the whole
process. No, I'm not going to switch it. I'll let you say what you want to say.
Well,
but
then be quiet for a second.
Well,
no, then be quiet and allow me to speak.
I will,
tell you
but I just want you to.
Since I was there and you were not.
A teacher who's on
information
being.
Secondhand,
a teacher on the payroll.
I was not wearing any T-shirt. I go there representing myself, and I go to every single town meeting.
Okay, but a T-shirt on the payroll in a Grim Reaper outfit. You think that's appropriate? It's a yes or no, Karen. I'll answer.
I think it's
inappropriate. I think if you're a teacher,
you're entitled to your opinion,
and you're teaching.
Again, that was not was what was.
And you're teaching children. I think it's inappropriate to wear a Grim Reaper outfit to
a
town council meeting.
That's a different subject than the town council meeting.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you condone bullying? Do you condone bullying in schools? Yes or no? You don't?
No, I don't.
Then why would you condone the people screaming and yelling and interrupting the meeting? Now, you just said, I can't follow you, Karen. You just said you don't condone bullying. I don't get that. So
you
do
want to have a dialogue with me.
I do want to have a dialogue.
No, then be quiet for 5 seconds and allow me to speak and tell you what I observe.
I just don't understand why you condone bullying.
No, you're not allowing me to speak.
Well, you won't answer the question. Why would you condone bullying?
It's irrelevant. What I have to say.
Irrelevant. Bullying? Karen, do you realize that with so many kids in school that is a major problem is bullying, and you think it's irrelevant? And a teacher in a Grim Reaper outfit?
Very clever, changing the whole topic of the evening.
But a teacher in a Grim Reaper outfit is highly inappropriate when they're being paid by the taxpayers.
Because we're not having a dialogue. You're talking over me.
I'm not.
You're interrupting me.
Go right ahead.
You're being sort of rude.
I'm not being rude. Go right ahead, madam.
You are. Okay.
Go ahead, Karen.
I was at the meeting.
Yeah, we've heard that three times.
Okay. At several points, somebody spoke, and then the lawyer for the town tried to speak. And people upstairs, frankly, couldn't hear. And I understand that because I sit downstairs, and many, many times the acoustics are bad and you can't hear.
Right.
So the person upstairs shouted, "We cannot hear you."
Yeah.
The meeting did get out of hand. However, first of all, when you saw there were, I don't know, a couple of hundred people there, perhaps when you saw the number of people, perhaps the town council should have said, you know what, we're a lot of people. Maybe we should move over to Swift Gym.
No need.
But
they have a town council hearing right there. They don't need to.
Yes, they do. They've had meetings in
Swift
Gym before.
It doesn't matter. They're outsiders. They didn't belong there in the first place.
You don't know if they were outsiders.
Oh, come on.
I don't know if they were outsiders. And it's irrelevant. There are things. I've listened to meetings all over the country go on. There's a lot worse things that are said than what was said last night to speak louder and to perhaps change the meeting. The town council should have been able to handle that. But even if they didn't, they could have very easily moved over to Swift Gym.
No need.
Or adjourned to another. Yes, there is a need.
The meeting was posted to be right there.
The meeting has been at Swift
no
Gym
need.
Several times this year.
I've been in town council chambers. They're more than adequate.
But they were not adequate last night. There
well,
too many
because you had all those outsiders trying to disrupt the meeting.
Do you know for a fact that they were outside?
Oh, come on. Of course.
You know for a fact
yes.
that they were and you weren't at the meeting.
Doesn't matter.
And I don't know where you're getting your information
from. People who were there.
Really?
Yeah.
And who would that be?
I'm not going to name them. Members of the media were there and others that were there.
Honest, I don't know.
Were you wearing a blue T-shirt?
No, I was not.
Were you in the Grim Reaper outfit?
No, I was not.
Why do you condone bullying?
And it's an irrelevant. They wanted to have we wanted to have a meeting. I actually addressed the town council. Then somebody else after me addressed the town council, and then a woman addressed it. And it was, I have to admit, it was very difficult to hear.
Of course, with people yelling.
Because the
aren't those adults?
Are
don't they know how to behave? Don't they know how to handle themselves?
Let me tell you something, Miss Cianci also yelled at them.
Yelled at them. She was trying to maintain order.
Yeah, well, it wasn't working out very well.
Would you say that's appropriate behavior for adults to be screaming at her like that?
Here's the thing. Two wrongs don't make a right.
What about when they were chanting, move the meeting?
They were wrong.
What about when they were chanting, move the meeting? Would you say that's mature?
They should have moved them.
Would you say that's mature behavior?
Again, irrelevant to the conversation.
Why is everything irrelevant to you? Here's what the thing.
No, because they should have moved the meeting. The meeting
why?
Because there were too many people there.
Well, they were outsiders. People,
They were not all outsiders.
They wanted to create a circus atmosphere.
No.
What do you think of Gail Kerrigan? She seems like a very brilliant woman. What do you think?
Really? What basis of what? Well, here's how. Let me.
Based
tell you
on the way that
okay.
she was able.
Okay,
well, you asked me a question. Let me answer
okay,
the question.
Then
based
then
on the way she was able to straighten out Central Falls.
I don't know that. I don't know that. Let's just talk about what happened in East Greenwich, okay? Because I was at the, I've been at the meeting.
Yeah, I think you've said that 10 times.
Ago,
go to the next line, whatever they wrote for you, where it doesn't say you were at the meeting.
Anything,
oh, all right.
Nobody wrote anything for me. I was at the meeting.
11 times.
A discussion took place about the municipal court, whether or not the town is going to keep the municipal court.
Right.
Which is, you know, an interesting conversation.
Were you at the meeting?
Yes, I was.
Go ahead.
And
you were at the meeting.
Yes, I was. You can check it. You can ask Miss Cianci. She knows me very well.
All right. But I just want to straighten out for the 15th time, you were there at the meeting.
You know, you're being silly. You really are.
Why do they form a gauntlet like that where everybody has to walk in between them with the matching shirts? Is that in solidarity?
I don't know who those people were.
Who was the teacher in the Grim Reaper outfit?
And that's really, I have no idea.
Let me guess, that's irrelevant because you were at the meeting.
Yeah. Do you want me to continue?
Yes. Why don't you like Gail Kerrigan? Because she knows too much about one town? Because people don't want their taxes raised 400%?
Again, if you let me speak, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
At the meeting discussing, the first meeting that she attended
right.
was to discuss the municipal court, whether or not to keep the municipal court.
Right. You've said that about four times now.
Well, you keep interrupting me.
Were you at the meeting last night?
Miss Kerrigan, Miss Cianci spoke to Miss Kerrigan and asked her.
Hold on. Buddy Cianci was there last night?
No, Cianci.
Oh, Cianci. I thought you said Mrs. Cianci. Do you mean his fiance? Do you mean his fiance was there?
You want to continue the conversation?
Yes, I'm trying to listen to you. You're confusing me by saying that Buddy Cianci was at the meeting. Go ahead.
You're hysterical.
Karen, I'm going to listen to you.
So then.
This is you were at the meeting.
Yes. She spoke. Ms. Kerrigan addressed the municipal court.
To who?
She spoke to the town.
Okay.
The town that was at the meeting.
Right.
So. She said she spoke to all the relevant parties
yep.
and gave information regarding whether or not she thought that we should keep that East Greenwich should keep the municipal court.
Who said
however,
that, Mrs. Cianci?
Miss Kerrigan.
Oh.
However, she neglected. You're a riot. However, she neglected to speak to David Bizarre, who was the judge.
Oh, I know Judge Bizarre. Brilliant man.
The municipal court.
Yep.
Let me ask you a question. If you're trying to examine and determine whether or not East Greenwich benefits from a municipal court, do you think it might be wise to speak to either his clerk or the judge?
I don't know.
That's
a simple
yes or no question.
Well,
can you answer it?
Is that why the people were there last night? Because of David Bizarre and the municipal court?
You asked me what I thought of Ms. Kerrigan, and I'm giving you an example.
Oh, all right. So you feel she
did due diligence. And you're failing to answer the question whether or not you feel that she should have spoken to Judge Bizarre and his clerk.
I don't. That's not why people were there. That was you want to talk about irrelevant.
Answer me. Well, you just asked me what I thought of Gail Kerrigan.
I think.
I'm telling you what I'm basing my opinion on.
Right.
And you haven't answered the question.
All right.
I'll answer the question.
I think Gail Kerrigan is brilliant.
Should have spoken to the judge. That's the question posed to you.
I think she...
Should she have spoken to the judge?
I think... Well, I wasn't at the meeting.
Should she have spoken... Well, it's irrelevant. Should she have spoken to the judge?
All right, I'll tell you what. Should she have talked to the judge? That's why you're so upset.
No, that's... Again, you asked me...
All right, I'll tell you what. If you want, you can hold on. I have to break for the news, folks. John, it's John DePietro. Stay with us.